Praise the Lord. Brother Larry's got a real quick announcement, and then we're going to get into the Word of God.
Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. We won't take but a second here, but to all those planning on going to South Dakota, all of those that suspect you might, went last year, not sure, please come, and we're going to have a short meeting out across from Brother Mike's office back here on the North Wing right after church this morning, and I've tried to establish a time to go. So if you even think you might be remotely interested, please come in to our meeting. It will be but just 4 or 5 minutes. Thank you.
Don't you love the Lord? Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap of praise. He is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Praise the name of Jesus. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to me to the book of Luke, the 21st chapter. Luke chapter 21. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture as my text this morning, but we'll be reading others. And though someone once said, when the preacher had got through preaching, they said that he felt like that he brought the whole load. And I may have the whole load this morning, but I promise I won't feed it all to you at one time. So, but I've had this burning on my heart for like 3 weeks, and I trust that you'll understand, you'll see my heart, you'll begin to see the signs of the time. Brother Ronnie's teaching in Sunday school class and the comments that was made, what God spoke to us. I'm here to tell you, church, that we are living in the last days. We're living in the last month. I would be safe in saying I feel like we're living in the last hours. So with that being said, if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, I want to read verse 28 in your hearing. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I want to preach this morning on the five prophetical trends that we need to be looking for that shows us the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 21, verse 28, Jesus said, "And when you see these things," somebody say these things, "begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we all know, it is not wise to set the time for Christ's return. And I assure you, I am not attempting to do that today. But I am telling you that when Christ, He is going to return. I'm not telling you when, but I'm telling you He is going to return. He's returning and He is giving us some signs to give us a heads up. That through His Word, it tells us what we are to look for. At the same time, Jesus Himself gives us signs and He gives us hints of when that day is coming. He made it very clear that the specific time was reserved for His Heavenly Father and His knowledge only. By the way, just as a side note, if there was just one up there, Him and His Father and the Holy Ghost was just one person, then how come Jesus don't have the insight on it as well? That's just my thing. Threw that out there. Didn't cost you a thing. There's three distinct entities in heaven working to fulfill one specific heavenly purpose in three specific offices. We all know that the circumstances of our world, that the coming of Christ is nigh at hand, using the biblical word. One of the things Christ told us, and I want you to look at this and really, really note this specifically. One of the things that He told us is when we begin to see these things come to pass. Not necessarily one specific, but when there's several things begin to line up and come to pass, He said, "Lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh." So there is a combination of things that are transpiring and taking place, and we need to take heed and we need to be watching closely. These things, a combination of things, several things that Jesus prophesied and the prophets told us, that Jesus spoke, the prophets told us, that Israel was coming back into their land, Jeremiah chapter 23, and they are. And the Jewish people will take back control of Jerusalem in Luke 21. It does not matter what anybody else says. When God says Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. The gospel is being preached all around the whole wide world. From the internet capacity now and what it can do, the Word of God is being preached across the whole wide world. Matthew chapter 24. Today we see these signs and many more. Many more. Before our very eyes, and surely, surely we can see that we are living in the season of Christ's return. I want to tell you up front, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to put fear inside of you, because the devil brings fear. God doesn't bring fear. Perfect love casteth out all fear. And I know in our world, in our society, sometimes that's really hard to grasp. It's hard to get our arms around, because the devil wants to put fear in our heart and our lives. We see all these things happening. The preacher scares us to death. But I'm not here to try to scare you. I'm here to try to prepare you. Did you hear me? I'm here to try to prepare you. To give you some warning signs to help you to realize and know you better get your house in order. You better get your mentality straight with God. You better get your attitude straight with God before He gets your attitude aligned. Do you understand and realize that this is something that we really need to take it to heart, and we really need to understand? Our world is filled with warning signs. Everywhere you look, we see signs of warning. We see signs of precaution. We see signs of information. And if we will take heed to them, it will not harm us. But if we neglect them, it's going to eat us up. I've seen signs that said, hard hat area. If you don't wear a hard hat, you're liable to get a hammer dropped on your head. That will do you damage. We see signs in grocery stores, Walmart, wherever you may go, has a little sign, yellow sign that says wet floor. You know why? Because if you don't pay attention, you're going to fall and bust yourself. That's not to put fear in you. That's to warn you. Come on, somebody. Have you ever seen those signs that says drive slow, steep and curvy the next 5 miles? That does not mean put your foot on the accelerator and see how fast you can go around the curve. That means put your foot on the brake, pay attention, slow down, because there's curves there, there's obstacles there, there's hills there. It's not to make you afraid, but it's to warn you. We see signs like, don't feed the bears. Do I need to say more? Again, these signs are not to frighten us, but to prepare us. And that's exactly what the disciples, that's exactly what Jesus, that's exactly what the prophets, is to help us understand, help us to see, and help us to prepare for what's taking place and what's getting ready to happen. And He shows us signs everywhere. It's not that He is telling us the day or the time, but He's telling us there's signs that these things are lining up, and I'm coming soon and very soon. I'd like to take just the next little bit, and maybe the next couple of little bits on Sunday. And I don't know about tonight. I'm not sure the direction God wants me to go yet. But I assure you, I don't have enough time to finish it this morning. So you don't want to miss a service. But I want to take just a little while to give you five things specifically that we need to be looking for. Somebody say looking for. When we have company coming, Brother Snow testified this a few weeks ago that was so fitting. When we have company coming, we start making plans way in advance to welcome them. Do you understand and realize we need to be making plans now for Christ's return? I'm telling you, everything you got in your pockets, everything you got in your closet, everything you got in the bank, you ain't taking with you. It's what's inside of you. It's your attitude. It's your spirit, man, that's going to go up with Jesus Christ. And if you got a crummy attitude, you're going to stay here with Betty Crocker. You'll get that tomorrow. Company's coming. Our guest is almost here. So the first thing I want you to listen to and to think about, and I don't want you to get blown away, and I don't want to bore you, but these are very, very important signs. We've heard in Ezekiel chapter 38 of Gog and Magog. We are seeing these things transform and transpire right before our very eyes. The rise of Gog and Magog and their alliances is happening right now, church. It's nothing more than Ezekiel 38, a coalition of countries and armies coming from the north, advancing toward Israel because they hate God's people. They despise God's people. They don't feel like they even have a right to exist. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, which many of them has not accepted as of yet, there still is God, there still His people, and He will still come back for them. Can I tell you that in the beginning, and again, I don't want to bore you, just stay with me for a little bit, okay? It'll get a little more interesting, but I'm telling you of some signs and some things that's taken place. But in the beginning of 2018, we begin to see several changes in Russia's alliance. In the event, now you understand that Russia is right above Israel. And then there's Turkey, there's Syria, there's all these other places in there. And those armies are coming together. There's times that they have fought. There's times they didn't want anything to do with each other. But they're beginning to come together in an alliance like never before. And in recent months, we've seen a new development in the armies of the north of Israel, which the prophets told us was the armies of the north would come against Israel. And since the mid-1990s, Russia, Iran, and Turkey and Syria have been coming together to form an alliance. In 2015, Turkey shot down a Russian jet that had strayed into the airspace, and at that particular time, they looked more like enemies than they did allies. But shortly after that, things begin to transform and begin to move, and after that conflict, somehow things begin to change, and the Turkish president begin to build a coalition and begin his grip of power, and somehow begin to form an alliance with Vladimir Putin. Say, what in the world has that got to do with me today? Can I tell you everything? Everything. I know a lot of us, we don't like to talk about this stuff. We don't understand this stuff. But I'm going to try to get down to the kindergarten level with you today to just tell you that all these things are lining up. All you need to do is pay attention. When you hear these things on the news, perk up. And if you don't understand it all, just look up because your redemption is drawing nigh. They're coming together. An alliance against Israel. Not only against Israel, but they hate the United States because we love Israel and are allies with them. Pursuing its own interests, Turkey is now a major player in Syria conflict along with Russia and Iran. And it is the unlikely alliance formed in the northern borders of Israel. These are the same nations that Ezekiel talked about and Daniel talked about. Ezekiel 38. Daniel chapter 11, we all know that, now listen, it ain't got nothing to do, how you like those words of perfect grammar, ain't got nothing to do necessarily with the nationality of these people other than where they have come from and built such a hatred for Israel and the United States because we stand for the God of, are you ready for this? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. you throw Ishmael in there somewhere, they don't have quite the problem. But the problem is, that's not God's chosen, and that's not his lineage. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Iran has been hostile and aggressive toward Israel forever. And now Russia and Turkey has joined in. When we was there in Israel, we went to the northern part of Israel to go up to a place where Paul had confronted some altar worshipers and some worshipers of foreign gods. And along that way, as we was traveling up through there, we went right by a fence line, and it was very distinct as we went up the road, around the corner, and up the hill. And our guide told us, said, nobody travels into that part of that country because it is prohibited. Because back in the war, I believe it was a seven-day war, back in that particular time, they put mines all over that particular area, and nobody mapped the mines, so nobody knows where they're at. There was a barbed wire fence barrier on the north. It has always been a conflict. It has always been a struggle. Can I tell you, God's on the throne. I said, God's on the throne. Again, Iran has always been hostile and aggressive against Israel for years. Now Russia and Turkey has joined in. Russia blames Israel for the September 17th incident that led to Syrian forces bringing down the Russian spy plane. I mean, you know, that has to be Israel's fault. In May of last year, Turkish authority told Israel's ambassador to leave their country. Turkish authority told Israel's ambassador to leave their country, and since then, more Israeli officials have left. Because of that, Turkey's generals was expelled from Israel, and things continued to progress with these three countries, and the relationship has suffered and went downhill on a downhill trend. Actually, these things have not changed much over the last 100, 200, 300,000 years. So I want to recap and help you to understand this. If you would read chapter 38 of the book of Ezekiel, you'll find words like Gog and Magog invading Israel. Gog is the leader, perhaps, of Iran. Magog is Russia, perhaps part of Turkey. Meshach and Tubal, you'll find those there in Ezekiel chapter 38. As it is referenced there, I want you to understand that Meshach and Tubal, I want to stop for just a moment and help you to understand, because you've got to get this in your mind. You've got to see. Some of you may never come back to church and hear my message again, but you'll hear this, okay? No, I hope you do. I hope you understand this. I hope you get this, because it's signs of the Lord's return. We see Meshach and Tubal. In biblical times, when different tribes or different groups of people, like the 12 tribes of Israel, they all had their specific areas of land, correct? So it did with others throughout the Bible. They had their specific areas of land. Meshach and Tubal was the sons of Japheth. Remember who Japheth was? Ham and Shem, his brothers. That was Noah's kids. And Meshach and Tubal was Noah's grandchildren, and they settled straight north of Israel in the area where Russia is. So you have Russia, you have Meshach, you have Tubal. That was all part of that country. That's why Ezekiel said here, and he named them the Meshach Tubal, Gog, Magog, because it's all part of the north country that's coming down. Not to bore you with all this information, these are key players in the events that's going to get us out of this world. Did you hear me, church? These are key players that's going to be events that's going to get us out of this world. These are things that we need to be watching for that is happening. Though these things that I told you might have happened in 2015, 2017, 2018. But listen, this happened February of this year. President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has been working diligently with the men in the Middle East, the leaders, and have met with the Turkish leader and some of the other leaders in the Gulf states. And according to the news media, there is a plan that is written. It's on the table. He's presenting it to them. It is an outline of the Middle East peace talks. Hello? What does the Bible say when they cry peace and safety? It is not for you to be fearful of. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. February 11th, the White House said that the final plans of the Middle East peace plans have been written and was on the table. Wow. See, that don't amount to a hill of beans to me. Oh, yes, but it does. Whether we want to admit it or whether we don't. It is our sign. Luke chapter 21 tells us there, verse 20, 21, somewhere in there, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by the armies, you know that its desolation is near. You know that its desolation is near. Things are happening. You remember when it talked about that Israel would be flooded with all these guests and all these visitors that are coming into Israel, just going to flood everywhere? Remember reading that scripture? Well, can I give you some insight on Jerusalem itself? And all the nations of the world said that Israel, and I mentioned this a while ago, and I'll say it again, that Israel didn't have a right to exist and that Jerusalem wasn't their capital. Can I tell you, God said it is and it was and it will be because He's already proclaimed it. God just used a man that was brave enough to stand up and proclaim it. And I thank God for Donald Trump. He may not be a Christian, live a Christian life, but he has listened to Christians, he's listened to preachers, and he's listened to the Word of God. Do you realize that in 2018, that's last year, that's when we was in Israel, guys. In 2018, tourism set a record in Israel for 2.4 million tourists. That was a 17% increase over last year. I'm just telling you, the Bible said that Israel will be trodden upon by the Gentiles. Don't kid yourself. God has proclaimed it. And when God proclaims it, everything else is going to be a lie. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse number 4, let God be truth and every man a liar. No matter what they say, no matter how much power they've got, no matter how many coalitions they come together to bring to pass, God said it is what it is, and it is what it is, and He's going to bring it to pass. Israel's in His hands. And to the child of God that's been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we are in His hands. The second thing, and this is going to blow some of you's mind, you're going to think I really went off the deep end, but I got some things to back up. The second thing I want you to look at and understand, that there's an escalated growth in AI. How many knows what AI is? There's an extensive escalated growth in artificial intelligence. What has that got to do with us? Because it is getting to a place that it controls you. Well, man, that's going to be cool. We have robots that can do our house cleaning, do our dishes, make our bed, go to work for us, and we just tell them all that. I'm telling you, these things, it's not that artificial intelligence is in the Bible, but I'm telling you that these things are taking place because the Bible does talk about what they're going to do to Christians, what they're going to do to people. They're going to control you. You are being watched by Big Brother, whether you realize it or not. I honest to goodness feel like that these events of AI, artificial intelligence, these events are taking place and they have slipped right past us disguised as security, convenience, and prosperity. While they do offer some advantages that are appeasing at times, I wonder if our rights have been so infringed that the trade-off is worth it. There is an AI company in China, you say, well, that's China. There's a lot of countries in the world that may not be really kosher and huggy and friendly with each other. But when it comes to prosperity and it comes to putting a dollar in their pocket, don't kid yourself, the news is going to be spread. And the technology is going to be spread. I'm not talking about give me $10 and I'll tell you how I did this. We're talking millions and billions of dollars and I'll tell you how I did this. You don't think that's not appeasing to these countries? China, right now, it's already there. It's already up and going. Has a company called Yitu, Y-I-T-U Technology. It has developed a program called Dragonfly. We see all these stuff on TV, these science, sci-fi stuff, and we think, man, that's really cool. That'd be really neat if it happened. And all that. You remember that one show, what was it called, hun? Numbers or something like that, where they took the numbers and they showed everybody's faces. And we thought that was really cool and kind of an investigation deal. Can I tell you, it's not a movie. It's happening. It's happening. Why am I telling you all this? Because I want you to be ready. I don't want you to be caught unaware. I don't want you to be coming and looking through hell trying to find the preacher that didn't tell you what's happening and what's going on. I want you to be aware. I want you to know what's going on. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? It's got everything to do with us. Because if it's there today, it'll be here tomorrow. This dragonfly can identify over 2 billion people. 2 billion people they can identify in a matter of seconds. Dragonfly can search and hey, this ain't something I just dreamed up, okay? I'm reading this technology and it ain't from the internet, okay? Dragonfly can search and analyze billions of photographs and locate a single person in a matter of seconds as they connect to their cameras in Shanghai, the metro area of Shanghai, China. It has identified over 500 criminals in a three-month period. It is so powerful, it can recognize people wearing disguises. It can even recognize a person that gives them a picture that's over 30 years old. It can still put a name to that person on that particular day. Don't you think that China, don't think that they're the only ones that has this technology. I use the Big Brother deal, but Big Brother is watching you. In the future, Dragonfly will be the commonplace. Okay, here we go. It's what we're familiar with. Large technology companies like Facebook, Google, and Apple seemingly given in to China's demands. Google's original mission statement is to do no evil. Yet several media outlets have reported that they're working on a search engine to comply with China's government's strictly surveillance and censorship demand. Facebook reportedly is working on building a censorship tool in an effort to appease the Chinese government and gain access to its 1 billion internet users. So it sounds like to me that in a very short period of time, all those that are on Google's Facebook or whatever it is, they're going to be able to transcend that information of yours to China. Can I tell you that AI is real? And it's making advancements on a profound level. Just think of the kind of power that it gives a government. As Dragonfly connects to every camera in China, no one will be able to hide. This is not the end of it. It's not just looking for criminals. Okay, we all know catching criminals is a good thing, right? Right? I don't want no criminals running around loose on the street. But not every person that the Chinese government is looking for is a criminal. Those who disagree and oppose government policies, listen, those that disagree and oppose government policies like full-term abortion, homosexuality, or perhaps even Islam becoming a part of our law, or even ethnic minorities and Christians all of a sudden become at odds with a certain government officials, or could I say enemies of the state. And those people have nowhere to hide under Dragonfly. I really doubt that China will be the only one to implement this technology. Every nation is poised to implement AI technology. So when scanners started coming out in the supermarkets, some people wouldn't go there because it is a mark of the beast. And different technologies begin to happen and getting closer. I wonder how close we are to the mark of the beast. Technology, right now Google is working on a 5G AI technology that can even, if it's put in your car, it can even detect the thoughts and what the guy next to you going down the highway is going to do. I'm talking about driving down the highway, and the guy next to you, it can perceive what he's going to do. By the way, here in the United States, internet censorship has escalated dramatically. In China right now, their government is cracking down on a much wider array of online and offline activities. I'm trying to hurry. There's a couple places I got to get to before I close. If you fail to make a credit card payment, get in an argument in public, say anything wrong on social media, you could suddenly find yourself restricted from having any kind of conduct with a whole host of any normal economic activities. The primary market slogan of China's credit card system is, once discredited, everything restricted. Are you listening to me? In other words, if a person does anything that's considered untrustworthy, they are put on a blacklist and cannot use any public transportation, flying buses or trains. They can't make any purchases or conduct certain kind of businesses that would be a normal part of life. Does that remind you of anything? Can't buy, you can't sell. There's no doubt every one of us would like a more orderly society. See, Pastor, why in the world don't you just crack down and preach to us hellfire and damnation? Because if we don't understand these things and look for Him coming up, that's exactly what's going to be our reward. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. The men of Issachar knew the signs of the day they was in. God's people has got to get their head out of the sand and realize the day that we are in. We are not to be fearful, but we're to lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Everyone would like a more orderly society, but not never sacrificing our basic liberties and freedoms in a desperate attempt to get more safety and security. The social security system in China is making every citizen safer and more secure, but in the process, their entire nation has been turned into a dystopia hell. Dystopia hell. That is the opposite of utopia, from which there is no escape. Continues to build. Shadows of AI is becoming more apparent. And do not kid yourself. Mamas and daddies, you better be paying attention what your kids are watching and looking at and viewing on their phones. Artificial intelligence is affecting every aspect of our life, and you need to make sure and pray and ask God which ones are feasible and which ones you need to leave alone. But from security to engineering to mechanical to marketing and to data intelligence. Can I tell you, you may find this hard to believe, but the center portion of this, everybody has more rights but the Christians and the Jews. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Can I go ahead and say it? Christians are under attack. In America, a country that was founded upon God, and in God we trust, that come from a country that was running and fleeing religious depression and oppression. And now we are smack dab in 2019, and we are the enemy of the state. Can I give you just a couple of things that you probably didn't know? You probably suspected, but you probably didn't really know. We have been made the laughingstock of our country because of the stand that we take for God. In January 2009, the month that Obama began his presidency, the same month, he wiped away all safeguards to put in place to protect the unborn. In February of that same year, he announced his plan to nullify the conscious protection for any health care worker, meaning that they now could be forced to participate in the act of their violent faith of killing newborn babies or unborn babies, excuse me. You say, now, Pastor, you don't need to be naming names. He's not our enemy. Satan's our enemy. But he uses people to bring things about that we need to understand and we need to know. In March, Obama gave $50 million to the UN agency that works with the population control in China and practices forced abortion. In May, officials from the Obama administration accused those who were pro-life of being violent and using racism in carrying out criminal acts. You know who that is? Anybody in here pro-life? He accused those who were pro-life of being violent. I guess me raising my voice is radical and violent. In July, and I'm skipping a bunch of stuff, and I'm going to close, okay? I promise you. In July, the Obama administration used federal funds to force the nation of Kenya to change its constitution to embrace abortion. In October, Obama began omitting the word creator in the Declaration of Independence. You know that? Huh? It wasn't just once. It was seven occasions he refused to use the word creator in the Declaration of Independence. In January 2011, Obama administration refused to allow the cross from the World War I memorial to be re-erected in the Mojave Desert. For over 2 years, Obama has allowed the post of religious freedom ambassador, a position established to work against religious persecution around the world, to remain vacant. That seat, that individual that was fighting against religious radical positions or against religious persecution, he did not allow him to fulfill that seat or to fill that seat. In April, Obama pushed for the passage of non-crimination law that for the first time in American history contains no protection for religious groups. You're on your own, baby. That's just what they think. In January, the administration declared that churches had no First Amendment protection for hiring of their ministers. Or are you in trouble? That was a joke to lighten. You're in trouble. Okay? Because I'm going to say it like it is. Somebody just fix me a pot of ham and beans every once in a while and bring it to me. I'll be happy. Okay, Jesus is coming soon. I can't be there long. Hey, God's on our side. January 2012, the administration declared the churches had no First Amendment protection for their ministers. In February, the Air Force... Listen, in February of 2012, the Air Force was made to remove the word God from its rapid capabilities of their office patch. On their little patch they had to wear. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano, you and Cammy. As I said before, when you guys come, it just makes everybody feel better. In April, the Air Force stopped issuing the Bibles. That would be available in their lodging quarters. In May, the Obama administration opposed the protection of the conscience for military chaplains who could not violate their faith by performing same-sex marriages. In June, the administration ordered the U.S. military service emblem to no longer be allowed to appear on the military Bibles. And I could go on and on. January 13, around April air, the Air Force put together a religious tolerance policy without consulting any religious group but seeking advice only from military atheist organizations. Church, it's not a time to be silent. It's time to enter our prayer closets. It's time to take a stand for Jesus Christ. It's time that we realize who we are and what God has called us to and from. Again, let me tell you, I did not prepare this message to scare you. By the things of the world around about us, if hell could be scared out of you, it should have already been done. Unfortunately, we're in a time of lethargy, casually laid back. Let's go with the flow. In the United States of America, which it was developed and stood on is going to hell in a handbasket. It's time the church arises. We're not a violent army, but we are an army. And we wage war against not flesh and blood, but we wage war on hell itself. We need to be so close to God that when our feet hit the floor in the morning, hell ought to tremble. Satan ought to have his running shoes on ready, because we are the church of the living God. Would you stand with me all over the building today? God has a plan for you. He loves you. He cares for you. And all this stuff, He's not taken by surprise, because He's warned us. He's told us. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, Heavenly Father, we love You. We appreciate You. We honor You. And Father God, we ask You, O Lord, that You will give us the wisdom and the knowledge and the strength to be that army that rises up out of the ashes and the bones that Ezekiel saw. Lord, that we stand true and strong under the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, that You will help us, Lord Jesus, that You will help us to know the times like the Issachar. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts, protect us, cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. I pray that You'll intervene in the government of our country. And God, what I feel so deeply, that every Christian, every child of God needs to begin to repent for America, for the babies that have been slain, for the desecration of the cross, for the inconvenience, Lord, that we have allowed prayer be taken out of the school, the Ten Commandments out of our courtrooms. Father God, forgive us, oh God. Help us to be what You'd have us to be. Thank You, Lord, and we give You praise with every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Is there one here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you lift your hand and say, Pastor, I don't want to go to hell. I want to be among God's people. See no hands raised with the children of God. Lift your hands toward heaven. Say, God, I thank You and I give You praise for the peace that passes all understanding, for the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we know that You're coming soon and very soon. Not just big hand clap of praise as we welcome His return. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Don't forget service tonight at 6 o'clock. Have a blessed afternoon.